Good morning to each one. Greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you for that. For a subject this morning, you can turn to Genesis chapter 2. We'll start there. I have a number of scriptures I want to look at this morning. And my thoughts come from a couple of verses Glenn read last week at the beginning of, or right after he gave the announcements. And as I prayed about speaking this week, this thought kept just rolling around in my mind, and partway through the week, I finally decided it's what God was laying on my heart, and I want to think about, well, I'll just give you the title of my message, and that is this: Keeping the Lord's Day a Day of Rest. If you remember, we went to Isaiah 58, and I believe we read the last couple of verses in Isaiah 58. I believe it was 13 and 14. We'll get there later this morning. But there's this thought in my mind as I went through the week. How do we keep the Lord's Day a day of rest? And I'm just going to start out here in Genesis chapter 2. This is where God has established the Sabbath day. I want to look at this a little bit, and then we're going to go to the New Testament for a little bit, and I'm going to think about two aspects of, I believe, what we see in society around us today. So starting out here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So I want to establish this thought that God created the seventh day, the Sabbath day, as a day of rest. Let's think about this. Was God tired when he got done creating the entire universe as we know it? I mean, think about the expanse of the creation, the details, just everywhere we look. You look at the universe. We are such a small part of this massive thing that God has created. And the detail that he has put into this one single planet Earth, and he's put a lot of detail into the other planets. When you think about the details that we experience every day, and we take so many things for granted. Was God tired? Is that why he needed to rest? Or maybe God simply needed a break. Or what is this thought behind God resting? The Hebrew idea has the idea or behind this word of rest of just simply ceasing from work. You know, there's times where maybe we're not really tired, but we simply need to stop from our work and just take a break from it. And I don't think God has the humanity aspect where he needs to do that. But God established something here where he just simply ceased from work. And he established that for us as creation. God stopped creating on the seventh day. A couple other words I want to look at here, or at least one. It says that he sanctified this day. And I found this word to be very interesting when I looked it up. I didn't really ever study into the word sanctified in Hebrew, but it simply means clean. God sanctified this day. It's a clean day. Different places in the Old Testament, God uses this word holy and the word sanctified interchangeably. If we go to Exodus 28 in the Ten Commandments, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That word holy that's used at that specific place and here at sanctified, it has the same meaning. It has the idea of to make, pronounce, or observe as clean. It's a clean day. It's a holy day. It's a sanctified day. And so as I establish that thought in our minds and establish the fact that God has created this day, He has made this day, He made it, He pronounced it, and He wants us to observe it as a clean, a holy day. And it's my desire this morning that we would try and understand the heart of God, what He wants from us on this day of rest. Let's go to the New Testament of Mark chapter 2. We're going to read the end of the chapter, starting at verse 23, a very, very common story that we know very well. And I thought about reading the first part of chapter 3, but I don't believe I'll have time, so I'm going to omit that out of my notes. We're going to just read 23 to 28 here in Mark chapter 2. And I believe chapter 3 happened right on the heels of 23 through 28. And if you have time sometime, read it and think about what all Jesus is trying to say here. Verse 23, "And it came to pass that he went through," talking of Jesus, "the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went along, to pick the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was in hunger, and he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." The Jewish people had established a tremendous amount of laws. I shouldn't say tremendous, but they had established quite a few laws simply for this one single day of rest. And Jesus reminded them of what David did. He went into the house of God and he took bread that was for the priests, and he had a need, and God didn't condemn him for that. And Jesus finished up this little thought with, "The Sabbath was made for man." And that is just an intriguing thought. God created the seventh day, the day of rest, for us. He established it for a reason. And As I studied this, I was just really blessed with some things that I found that I did not really understand before. Man has grappled with this day of rest for many centuries, I believe. And as I studied, I came to one of the conclusions I came to in my thinking on this is that this day of the week, this day of rest, our view of God will define our view of this holy day. That is one of the conclusions I came to. And my thoughts went back to what Brother Aaron shared last weekend on the love of God. And I thought about that. Our view of God will define how we view this holy day. In Mark here, the Jewish people had taken the Sabbath away from what God had intended. They had established a significant amount of laws for this day. What about us in America today? So many of the so-called Christians do not observe any day of the week as a day of rest or a holy day. Some may attend a church service in the morning, but whatever business they have, however they make money, they go back to doing that Sunday afternoon. Some of them, if if their schedule is really tight and they don't have time for church Sunday morning, they go straight to their business and there is no day of rest. They will continue to work on the seventh day. And we have an understanding in our groups of people that that is wrong. And I looked online at what the Jewish people today would observe on the Sabbath day. And I don't know how many actually observe this. I would assume it's more your Orthodox Jews would observe this. But I want to make a note that I'm not going to speak a lot on the Sabbath day or the first day of the week. We as Christians, we have our day of rest on the first day of the week, and that reflects back to Christ and his resurrecting on the first day of the week. I believe that's why Christians chose the first day to set aside rather than the last day. I'm not really interested this morning in exploring that and debating the proper day and looking all into that. I just want to go from the understanding that there is a day of rest. I want to think about more of us keeping this certain day a day of rest. But as I looked online, from what I could understand, the Jews today have 39 laws related just to the Sabbath day. Things that they can do, things that they can't do. And I'm not going to list them all, but one of them that I found interesting was the lighting and extinguishing of fire. They believe you're not allowed to light a candle or extinguish it. And that carries into electricity as well, and their automobiles. You drive your automobile, there's a continual igniting and extinguishing of fire. And so I guess the Orthodox Jews don't drive their vehicles on Sunday. I mean on Saturday. I'm going to get that mixed up probably this morning. But Friday, they go into their houses and they make sure that the lights that they want to have on for Saturday are on and the lights they want to have off are off. Because they feel like it's a sin to walk into the room and flip the light switch on or off. And so they establish the lights that they want on and off. I don't know how many actually live that way. But that is just some of the things that I found. There's quite a bit online about what they can and can't do, and it was interesting to look at that. A religion of works. I don't know if that's just being too judgmental or not, but I find it hard to believe that that's really the heart of God, that he wants us to be that focused on what we do. But there's another side that I want to consider. And this is part of my burden because I believe that in my own life, I have somewhat drifted away from keeping the Lord's Day a day of rest. Think about our Protestant friends in the communities around us. And I believe it was in the book, Farmer Boy, that it talks about these boys that went sledding on Sunday and they got caught and there was some dire consequences for sledding on Sunday. And when I was visiting with Harold, he asked me what I was going to preach on and I told him and he mentioned the blue law that our forefathers carried over from the old land to the colonies here in America, and I never heard of that before, and I don't know if this is part of it, but our Protestant friends had a very strict code not that too many years ago. Yes, it was a couple of centuries, but that's not very much time, actually, where the simple act of sledding down the hill they believed was wrong. What happened? Many of them have no qualms about buying and selling and working and missing church, and just there is no holy day. What happened? There was a drift. I don't believe that in this time that one day our Protestant friends woke up and said, you know what, we're just going to have businesses open on Sunday. So last week we believed sledding was wrong, and the next week we just have our businesses open on Sunday. No, there was several generations of drift. And my heart is this morning is to get us to understand the heart of God, what He wants for us today. Because I sense in our own Mennonite culture, we have drifted. We are a lot looser with this holy day, this day of rest. We do a lot more than what we used to. I'll give an example of what I experienced in my own life. So growing up, I remember that we made sure the gas tank was full on the vehicle. And Sunday afternoon or evening, if we were going to go visiting, and we didn't have enough gas in the tank, well, that was the answer. We're staying home. If we were going to go visit a church an hour or several hours away, if we didn't have enough gas, we didn't go. We simply didn't buy it. And it wasn't just our family. It was, as far as I know, it was the majority of the churches in Wisconsin. You just didn't go buy gas on Sunday. We started an outreach in southern Wisconsin. I remember going there with the young people, and we waited till 10 or 10:30 to leave there because the vehicles were going to run out of gas probably somewhere after midnight then. Is that bondage? What's happening? It's just a question I have. And I believe there's two sides to this. There's our Protestant friends have showed us drift. They went from observing Sunday as a holy day. They respected it as a day that God had set aside. Now they don't observe it. Is that what we want to do? Do you want your grandchildren having their businesses run on Sunday just as if it's another day of the week? And so I think we do well today to take a look at what God wants. What does God want from us on this Sunday? Because I have no interest in going to where the Jewish people are, is it wrong for me to say that they live in bondage because of all the laws they have that they cannot do? I don't think that's what God wants either. Because often when we establish a lot of laws, we create a lot of loopholes that in the end, the laws mean really not a whole lot. I would rather look at the principles of God's word and how can we apply them. And perhaps we do need some renewed guidelines or refreshed guidelines, but still, I want to view guidelines as not a law, but as a guide and a closer walk with God. Most of all, can we grasp the heart of God for this day? And I have four principles that I want to look at. I want to try and be as practical as I can with these principles. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. This is where God was giving the law. And I found some things in here that just really, really blessed my heart as I studied into this. And I will turn to Isaiah 58 for one of these. And if I forget to mention it, keep your finger here in Exodus 31 when we go there, because I will take all four from this chapter. Exodus 31, let's start reading at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I'm just going to stop reading there because that is my first point. Keeping Sunday as a day of rest is a sign for us that God has sanctified us. A lot of this has to do with our view of God and how we'll keep the Sabbath. This word here, sanctified, has a little different meaning than what it did in Genesis chapter 2. This has the idea of setting us apart. And this little thought here of God established this day, it's a sign between us and God. He created this day. He set this day apart because there are people in the earth that have been provided redemption for. God provided this redemption in our day and age through the blood of Christ, that we can be cleansed from our sin, that we can have the weight of guilt removed, that we can have this hope within us, we can have a relationship with the Creator. And in the Old Covenant, it was much the same. God had provided covering of sin through blood of sheep and bulls. We get to experience a better and a new way, but the principle is still the same. God has set this day aside as a sign for you and me and a relationship between Him. It's our day as we reflect and as we gather together and we think about what God has done for us. We gather and we worship, we praise, we honor and glorify God, and it's a sign that we have a relationship with Him. God has given us, and I want to emphasize the gift part of this day. This is a day that God has established for us. It's a special day for us to rest and to worship and fall down before Him in adoration and praise for His gift and His work in our lives. God gave us this day as a sign that He doth sanctify us. In other words, I believe this is also speaking of an ongoing process. God is continually setting us apart, working in our lives, purifying us, cleaning us up, getting Him more and more in the likeness of His own image. And I believe the opposite sign is there as well. When we place this day as unimportant, or the activities of this day as unimportant, I believe that is a sign as well of our disconnect with God. Number two, let's keep reading here, verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. For every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Number two, we keep Sunday as a day of rest because it is a holy day. He talks about this day of rest being a holy day. And this word holy in this chapter is taken from that same Hebrew word with the idea of being made, pronounced, or observed as clean. I guess it would be its root word. But this word is also has the idea of being sacred. So it's a little bit different word. I didn't read through my notes far enough. This word is a different word from the previous word we looked at, sanctified. But that sanctified word is a root word of this. And it has the idea of being sacred. This is a sacred day. Do we get that in our minds as we come to church, but do we view this day of rest as being sacred? Now think about getting into some of the practical thoughts of the Christian life. You know, the Christian's life is a life of intentional decision making. And I think, at least in my own life, sometimes I'd like to have this list of things that are okay for us to do, things that we can't do, just a nice clean list, and we can, every day, we can go down and check the boxes off or whatever, and we did it right today. But life isn't that way. There are things, activities, decisions that need to be made. Is this okay or not? And I think sometimes we often default to the question, well, what's wrong with it? And I think that's a poor question for any one of us humans to ask. Well, what's wrong with it? And as I thought about this day being a sacred day, a question came to me, and as I tried to think about what is God telling us through His Word? And I thought about this, and in light of this day, this clean, God has pronounced this day as a clean day, a sacred day. Is the activities that I want to engage in or that I do engage in, does it reflect that view? That this is a special day that God created for us as man. He didn't create us for the day, He created the day for us. We call this the Lord's Day as Christians, the first day of the week when we gather together for a day of rest and worship. And that's the right term because it is God's day. It's a sacred day. It's not our own day. And I think about out of a seven-day week, God requires only one day that we stop from all our work and devote that day as a day of worship to Him. Do our lives reflect that? And I think in light of the sacredness of this day, for New Testament believers, this day is sacred because it was on the first day of the week that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave and gave us the power to live in newness of life. Is that day sacred to us? Is it a holy day? Let's keep reading here in verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. And I believe that perpetual covenant he is speaking about goes back to verse 13, where he talks about that sign of our relationship with Christ. Keep your finger here, and let's go to Isaiah 58. Before I give the next point, I want to read here in verses 13 and 14 of Isaiah 58. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. On this Lord's Day, we cease from work and doing our own pleasure. How do we practically look at this? How do we know if it's our own pleasure or simply doing the kingdom work? And to a degree, I find this point to be probably the most difficult to know how to work my way through it. But I made the statement before that our view of God will define our view of this holy day, and the longer I studied that, the more clear that became to me. So in light of the first two points, as we think about God's love and mercy towards us, this point actually doesn't become that difficult, at least in my mind. Maybe you will still struggle with it. When we think about the relationship that God desires to have with His people. People that want to be relieved of the burden of guilt, that want to walk in the way that God has provided, and people that view this day as a sacred day. It suddenly, at least for me, it became a lot clearer of things that I can or can't do. When we can line up our desires and our will to God's, many things in life become much clearer. And I encourage us to be intentional about what we choose to do with Sunday. So often, and I mentioned this before, we ask ourselves questions, and I find this in my own life. I do this so often. Well, what's wrong with sledding on Sunday? There's nothing wrong with sledding on Sunday. What's wrong with driving and buying gas on Sunday? What's wrong with, you know, we're traveling and we need supper somewhere. What's wrong with stopping in and picking up some supper? Let's ask different questions. Is the activity simply a pleasure that I want? Or does the activity I want to do reflect that I believe that this is a holy day, that this day is sacred? Does the activity reflect that I believe this day is a sign of God's covenant with me and that I am His? Does the activity reflect that I'm a servant of God? And I read a quote this week, and I think it speaks well to what I'm trying to convey in this point. And here's the quote: if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. If we look at Sunday as a day of bondage and we just can't do anything, and yeah, it will be that. What is our view of God? Our view of God will define how we view this day. So maybe when we stop and look at activities or things that we do or things that we cut out and we're not sure about, maybe we simply need to change the way we are looking at them. All right, number four. Let's keep reading here in Exodus 32, verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Lord's day is to be a day of refreshing. Now I know here it speaks of God resting and being refreshed. And I've worked with a man that told me Monday morning is his favorite day of the week. In it, I still don't fully comprehend and grasp that, because so many times Monday morning, especially after a big weekend, I just am dragging. It's hard to wake up. It's hard to get inspired. I'm just tired. But he spoke to me about how refreshing Monday was. And especially when I studied through this day being the Lord's day and a day of rest and refreshing, I begin to understand that in the past, so many times, I was in verse 3 pursuing my own pleasure, doing what I wanted to do, pushing myself, filling my life with what I thought was good things. God wants us to be refreshed, renewed, ready to face another week. And I thought about all the times through this chapter 32 or 31 that God kept calling the children of Israel to observe, to keep the Lord's day, the Sabbath day. And it's really not an option. If we're going to be part of God's people, it goes back to point number one, that it's this sign. We will keep the Sabbath day holy. It's part of what defines Christianity. Because it's a command of God to keep His day holy. God doesn't overlook breaking this command. And I struggle at times to understand what the heart of God really is in some things. I know that we need to take care of our animals. I know there's certain work that has to be done, and I believe God understands that. But our view of God will affect how we view this day. So I want to end this point here with this thought. So are the activities I'm doing on Sunday, do they refresh my spirit with God's spirit? And there's a lot of lot of other questions that we could ask ourselves. I definitely did not touch them all. But I want us to think through the lens of what does God want from us on this day? It's a day He created for us. It's His day. It's His holy day. And He expects something out of us. He expects us to treat this day differently than anything else. Are we doing that? Are we drifting away? Are we becoming careless? But at the same time, neither do I want to establish a bunch of laws that keep us from being refreshed in God. I want to leave the challenge with you that I received as I studied this. What is this day in my mind? What is this day? Do I see this day as the Lord's day? Holy, sacred, and a sign for me that I am being sanctified as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Let's kneel for prayer.